This hour of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by 3010weightlossforlife.com. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
The Census Bureau just put out some data, population data, and it looked at every single city in this country. And we were able to look up what was happening here in Seattle over the course of the year, July 1st, 2020 through July 1st, 2021. Now, that, of course, was the pandemic. Right after slash in the middle of the shutdowns and then into the aftermath. And we know that people changed a whole lot of their life. They didn't go into the office as much, so some of them decided that they were going to move. And in this case, according to the Seattle Times, we saw a decline of a little more than a half of a percentage point. Now, you can say that that is really small, right? That only represents about 4,300 people. That's tiny. But number one, understand that this is a city that has been growing for years and years and years and years, and it was supposed to continue to grow. And number two, as recently as just like 3 days ago, I heard someone say, oh, look at all those conservatives on Fox News talking about how Seattle is dying. Everyone wants to move here. No, not everyone wants to move here. Lots of people want to move elsewhere. In fact, a lot of people want to move to Texas, which is growing tremendously. So this according to the Seattle Times. The last time Seattle's population declined was between 2002 and 2003 when the city lost a modest 200 people. Seattle was hardly alone among major U.S. cities in losing population during this period. In the period from 2019 to 2020, 15 of the largest U.S. cities lost population. The new data shows 32 shrank from 2020 to 2021. 32 of the big cities. So what do you think is the city with the fastest growth? Pick one city with the fastest growth. You have only 100 million to choose from. Pick one.
London.
The U.S. Census, dummy.
Yeah, what?
London?
Yeah, we play NFL games there.
Oh, my God.
You're telling me that's not what census means?
Well, no, obviously census doesn't mean that.
Census is cities that you can play football in.
Oh, my God. Fort Worth, 1.4% growth. San Antonio. They had the largest numeric growth, increasing by 13,600. Now, King County also shrank a little bit more than 1%. That's, of course, twice the rate of Seattle, which kind of makes sense because when you're looking at King County, they're taking out Seattle for that number. The fastest growing city among those with at least 50,000 people was in King County. Now, you look at some of the cities within King County that did well or saw increases. Redmond, they increased population by 4%, which is, again, kind of making sense for folks who want to move out of Seattle but stay in King County. Why do people leave during the pandemic? They realize that when you're stuck at home in a small little box, and you're expected to stay there for all your days. You're working from home. You're all like, why am I paying $2,700 for a 350-square-foot apartment on Capitol Hill? Why would I want to do that? People moved. And also people got the opportunity to reset their lives, saying, do I want to have my kids go to a park in Seattle? Have them risk picking up a needle? Remember the used needles all about on at Denny Park in Seattle? We covered that extensively. Remember that? People said, yeah, I'm done. So just keep that in mind the next time someone tells you, everyone wants to live here. Seattle's not dying. There's nothing wrong with Seattle. The people who have their heads in the sand. And I don't know why they do that, other than to say that they want to just prove Fox News and conservatives wrong. So they will put up with out-of-control homelessness, a surge in crime, a surge in overdose fatalities. They will put up with that so that they can say, those Republicans don't know what they're talking about. Seattle's not dying. Seattle is thriving. Look at all the people who are leaving. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Supreme Court.
So there was a Supreme Court, or it's not necessarily a Supreme Court rally. It was a rally against the Supreme Court. And they were there to push back against the overturning of Roe v. Wade, but also obviously the conversation about gun control came up. Now, the Supreme Court is almost certainly going to deem unconstitutional a New York gun law that forces someone to have to prove that you have a legitimate fear of safety in order to get a certain permit to be able to carry in public. And it is almost certainly going to get overturned, this law. Almost certainly. So you have folks tying that into what's going on, what happened in Texas, the mass shooting. They do not hide, ever, on the left. They do not hide their use of tragedy for a political gain. And in fairness to the left on this, in absolute fairness, and I mean this sincerely, they don't try to hide it. They're open about it. Never let a tragedy go to waste. Rahm Emanuel said that. A Biden official said it just the other, who was it, Samantha something, just a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, about the price of gas. Never let a good crisis go to waste. Hey, we can get people into more eco-friendly alternatives. They don't hide it. So when you have the Democrat senator from Massachusetts, Ed Markey, go up there, he makes it very clear what they're trying to do.
We have to expand the Supreme Court to get back the two stolen seats that the Republicans and Donald Trump took from the American people, so that we can ensure that when we put gun safety laws on the books, they are not overridden by the Supreme Court of the United States. This is the time, this is the place, these are the people who are about to change our country once and for all in our relationship with the gun lobby in our country.
Okay, so let's unpack what he just said in a nutshell. We have to pack the Supreme Court so they deem unconstitutional laws constitutional. We have to pack the Supreme Court so we're able to pass whatever bill we want when it comes to guns. Let's pack the Supreme Court so we never lose. Now, not only is that very transparently political, it is remarkably dangerous. It's remarkably dangerous. You know what argument wasn't being made when Donald Trump was in office? Do you know the argument that was not being made to pack the Supreme Court? Why didn't the Democrats want to pack the Supreme Court then? Because it would have given the power to the Republican, right? So in this weird world in which the left lives, why then wouldn't a Republican president with a Republican Congress then just pack the Supreme Court? Why wouldn't they just do exactly the same thing to even things out or to get power again? You're destroying an institution, and they don't care. They don't care. They are the equivalent of a toddler that cries and cries and cries. And if they don't get their way, guess what? They continue to cry. And they won't stop until you give them their way. So you give them whatever it is they want. There are people who believe this. Is that a valid argument then if a Republican holds that exact same position? No. What would it be called? We went through the absurd talking point of Donald Trump wants to bring back the monarchy. Wait, what? Bring back? Okay. We don't live in a monarchy. He's not our king. He's going to stay here forever. Dude left early when Biden was inaugurated. He left early. He's never going to leave. He's a tyrant. Okay, says the group, quite literally saying we need to pack the Supreme Court so we never lose a case. And they stole it. Stolen elections, you say that, well, you're anti-American. But we're going to say stolen Supreme Court. Uh-huh. Stolen. Ed Markey, loser. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation and send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text messages. The IRS continues to be aggressive. They're even increasing the number of officers in Washington State. So don't try to take on the IRS yourself. You're going to lose. Contact our local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn, at Nunn Better Tax Resolution. He's going to help. Nunn Better Tax Resolution. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Woke madness.
Woke 5 News, a.k.a. King 5, has struck again. Oh, my gosh. This is the name of the story. This is the name of the article that is uncritical of anything two specific people say. In the aftermath of George Floyd's murder, black leaders engaged in equity work say concrete changes have yet to come. They don't talk to any black leaders. They talk to the founder or CEO, I guess, of a media company, an independent media, Converge Media, and they talk to a consultant. They're not black leaders, with all due respect. They have positions. They have some influence, sure. Black leaders? No. But these are the only people that they talk to in this story. They said, basically, over at Woke 5 News, during the BLM movement, that they were going to change the way they, quote-unquote, tell stories. And by the way, if any journalist ever puts in their bio, I'm a storyteller, puke in their general direction. Don't puke on them, because that's just rude.
Just at them?
In their general direction, because it's kind of vomit-inducing. I'm a storyteller. You're a journalist. Are you telling me a story or are you telling me the truth? Well, you know, we're making it some dramatic because we want people to... So they decided over at Woke 5 News that they were going to use the equity lens in the stories that they tell. But in doing so, they also adopted this belief that anything someone says from their perspective, so long as they're a member of the quote-unquote BIPOC community or a marginalized community, you don't question what they say. You just present it uncritically. Because for too long, white people have been the only voices that mattered. Oh, okay. And the end result is you get just garbage like this. Garbage. Dr. Caprice Hollins participated in this. She's a race relations consultant and co-founder of Cultures Connecting. And she told Woke 5 News that pretty much nothing has changed in the last 2 years.
Institutionally, I would say nothing.
Well, then you don't pay attention to anything. Institutionally, you're not the brightest bulb out there. What did we do to the police departments institutionally? It kind of feels like we defunded them. It kind of feels like literally here in Seattle, the SPD moved their 911 operations to civilian control. That's literally an institution. We have instituted CRT in every single classroom pretty much in this country, certainly in this state. And you're telling me, nothing has changed? Really? Nothing? Well, then that's on you. You're really bad at what you do, black leader, according to King 5. What organization are you running? How much damage did the BLM movement do? They made no changes? We saw no laws that changed? Really? None? Nothing? No laws? Well, you know, you're going to have to dismantle every institution, especially capitalism. Pay me $500 an hour and I'll tell you how. Oh, okay. Please hire me. Be your consultant. I'll make those changes. So the person who stands to make money off of teaching people how to be anti-racist or whatever language she ends up using with her consulting fee, she's the one telling you that things haven't changed at all. But I bet you she knows someone who can fix things. It's her. Now, we've certainly seen different companies adopt the DE&I policies and put in place these different programs, diversity, equity, inclusion, words that used to mean legitimate things, and now they're just political for the most part. They're not always used politically, but it's become a political phrase, DE&I. But she says, well, the companies have had some mixed results.
I would say in some cases it is working, in most cases it is not. It becomes more of a box.
You should have hired her.
That gets checked, rather than real work that's being done.
So the first part of that I actually agree with, that for a lot of these companies, it's just a box being checked, the ones that are focused on the racial stuff. The reason is because they don't have to really do all that many changes. Now, I know she disagrees because she looks at raw data. She doesn't pay attention to any of the context. She has no conversation or concern with the nuance of any of this. But here's what she says needs to change.
It is work that we have to do to look at pay equity, the language we use, the policies that we're operating under, our everyday practices, that benefit one group, typically white males, but it's a lot of work, and we need to not give up.
Oh, no, we didn't please Dr. whatever her name is, Hollins. Oh, no. Pay equity. Did you know that it's illegal to pay someone who is white more for the same job as someone who's black because of skin color? Did you know that it's illegal to discriminate on the basis of race? Not, by the way, separating for affinity groups where there's a whites only group and a blacks only group. I'm pushing that aside. Did you know that that's illegal?
No, I'm aware.
Okay. She just said, we haven't hit pay equity. And she says that because she'll, for example, say, look, for example, at this producer who is Asian looking Latino. He makes $500 a month. Okay. Look at this white lady over here. She makes $600 a month. Yeah, they're both low paid. That's not pay equity. They're both producers. How long have you been here?
2.5 years.
How long has the white producer been here? 12. Should you make different or the same amount?
I mean, probably different. She's probably a little more experienced.
Now, when you get more experience, you'll make as much as she does. And she's, of course, going, there's always going to be a cap of whatever it is for the job. A barista is only going to make so much money an hour. You're going to hit that ceiling. What that ceiling is depends on the industry, depends on the job, depends on the company, all those sorts of things. But this whole idea of we're just going to look in her world at Asian guy makes this amount, and which is a bad example because Asians usually outpace white people in salary. So let's pretend you're black for a second. No, that's probably cultural appropriation. Let's pretend you're Latino because you kind of look it. So the Latino population, we're just going to look at what they make on average, and then we're going to compare it to white people. Is that fair, or why don't we compare apples to apples? There are ways to do that, but that's not what they care about. For people looking to be part of the solution, Hollins said supporting minority-owned businesses, educating their children about the history of race in the U.S., and learning about the diverse cultures and communities within the U.S. is a good place to start. Oh, thank you. She's quoted, although they don't put it in the piece, but in the video story, they put it in the article. White people will say, well, I recognize I have bias, but you know, what should I do? Well, then check your bias. Be mindful of your bias. Think about how your bias is showing up in conversations. When you offend people of color, don't invalidate that offense. Don't tell them they're making too much out of it or being too sensitive. You know, listen to them. Lean into it. So you're supposed to unquestionably accept someone who says you're a racist. You have the bias. She doesn't, though. She has no bias that's worthy of being put into Oh, no, she does. She checks her bias. This is her unbiased opinion that's not driven by a political agenda. Oh, okay. Thank you so much for clearing that up, Dr. Hollins. Ugh. I know I'm going to change this by tomorrow, but no more King 5 stories.
No more King 5 stories no more indefinitely? King
5. Yeah, no more. Oh, our next segment has one at the top. Damn it. Why'd you do that?
I mean, you're the one who made the rule.
Okay, I picked this.
The very impromptu rule, too.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it does get me worked up. And the AC works in the studio again, so I can get a little angry. It was 2,000 degrees in the studio yesterday. You want to know what a hero is? A talk show host who sits in a studio that's 200,000 degrees. I missed a zero. That's a hero.
What's trending? Everyone is a hero.
I'm a hero. Because I sat in the studio. It was 200. And then, by the way, now my office AC is broken. Am I wrong?
Oh, no. It's super hot
in
your
office. It's so hot. That's a hero. He persisted.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that, 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services, online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore the stories coming out of Seattle. And instead, we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. And we cheat a little bit and start at SeaTac Airport, even though it's technically in the rule books, because if you look at Section 3, subsection B dash poop emoji, it says SeaTac counts for the Big Local, even though C stands for Seattle. Memorial Day weekend is upon us.
Yes, it is.
We're off on Monday.
Yes, we are.
But today is when people start to travel. Today's the start of the, even though it's not summer yet, but we consider this the start of really the summer travel season. And it's back with a vengeance because a lot of people haven't been traveling for the last couple of years because of COVID. And so now they're all like, I'm a travel, even though I could have traveled before. And actually, had I traveled before, not only was it safe, it was a hell of a lot cheaper. Now they're going out spending an arm and a leg, and SeaTac is going to be insane. It will be absolutely insane. And they say we're getting closer and closer to the pre-pandemic level of travel numbers, the data. They say over at Woke 5 News that the Memorial Day holiday travel numbers are expected to be one-third higher than last year, which is about 80% of pre-pandemic numbers. When you look at Memorial Day in 2019, that averaged about 178,000 people per day. The busiest times at the TSA checkpoints are all day, except for like 20 minutes in the middle of the day. So if you can time it right and show up during those 20 minutes in the middle of the day, even if your flight is at night, then you're going to be golden. If not, you are screwed. That's basically what it says. Here are the busiest times. This is for TSA security checkpoints. And I'm assuming this is just across the board, not necessarily pre-check. Although, you know what? Screw you guys over at TSA, because you are now just promoting the hell out of the TSA pre-check, which means it's no longer exclusive. So as more and more people get TSA pre-check, you're not creating more pre-check stations at these airports. You still have the two. I don't understand that.
I mean, it's still exclusive to people who pay for it.
But everyone is paying. And by the way, not everyone has to pay. Certain credit cards pay for it now. Like my Chase Sapphire reserved, not the preferred.
Oh.
Yeah, just FYI.
Don't get it confused.
I'm not in your class of people, which Excuse actually me. Technically is like a master, a discovery card. it's true. If you know, you know. So
I'll have you know that I have an Alaska card. Thank you very much, Jason.
Alaska's the worst. It's all about Delta, baby. So even though I'm taking Alaska to Tampa later, I'm on an Alaska flight for something. Oh, to DC. They'll pay, I think, the entire fee. You have to pay it, but then they reimburse you, something like that. So the busiest times at security are 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. Okay. 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. and 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. So basically all the times normal people would go to an airport.
Almost all the time of the day.
Yeah. I mean, granted, if you have a 1 p.m. flight, which they have some to Vegas, that's the only 1 p.m. flights I'm aware of, and to overseas, there's a few. Generally, you're going in the morning, and let's say you have a 1 p.m. flight, right? So let's say you got to be there by what time if you're supposed to be for a 1 p.m. flight?
Get to the airport like
11:30-ish. Well, you're going to get on the road, presumably, to get there, which is going to be jam-packed, which means you're going to have to get there even earlier. And I know that all the airport advisors always, you should show up 4.5 hours early for international flights. Screw you. I would rather miss the flight than stay in that stupid airport 4.5 hours. Because by the time they actually call everyone to get on the plane, my cell phone will have run out of batteries. Because there's nowhere to plug your phone in that works.
There we go. We got there.
Oh, all roads lead there. If you're driving on the roads, AAA Washington's Kelly Just says,
if you haven't left your house by 1 this afternoon, you should wait until after 8 o'clock.
She's talking about today. If you haven't already left, you better wait until the evening. But you better leave before 8:03 p.m. because that's when the real jams start. So dumb. What if you aren't leaving until tomorrow? What are you supposed to do?
The best times are before 6 a.m. or after 9 p.m.
That makes no sense. That makes no sense.
Everyone in the world is going to be on the road for 13 hours tomorrow.
So let us just assume, because this is such stupid advice. It truly is such stupid advice. And if we have Chris on tomorrow, Sullivan, to talk about this, I'm going to yell at him too. Dumb advice. So let's say you leave at 5:30 a.m. That's when you're supposed to get on the road, correct?
Yes.
Okay. In this mythical world, well, it's a real world, on this mythical adventure, Let's say you live in Seattle. You're getting in the car at 5:30. And let's say you're headed towards Spokane. Or let's say you're going into Idaho. I don't know why. You're going
camping.
To Boise. Yeah, okay,
you're
going, because that's definitely what I would do. So, what are the freeways to get there?
I-5 to I-90.
Yeah, and eventually gets into, I think, if you want to go through Yakima, maybe, but probably not. Right? You stay
Stay on I-90.
What happens if you leave at 6? It's supposedly going to be filled with traffic, right?
Yes.
Can I get from Seattle to Idaho in 30 minutes?
No.
So I'm probably going to get stuck in traffic, correct?
Yes.
So why are you telling me to wake up very early in the morning, getting on the road at 5:30, for what benefit? To save maybe 20 minutes, maybe.
Out of your 6-hour commute, yes, you're going to save.
Like, so what's the point of that? What's the point? How about this? This is my advice if I was AAA of Washington. Don't go anywhere. Stay home.
Yeah.
Just stay home.
Take a long weekend
next weekend. Yeah, go on vacation next week, dummy. Go on vacation 2 weeks from now when no one's there. It's just useless. It's useless as advice. Leave at 5:30, but if it's after 6 o'clock, you're going to get screwed. Where do you think I'm going? It's only 30 minutes away. Then I'm not going to end up getting stuck in traffic anyway. Using that logic, you should have me leaving at 3 a.m. There's no one on the road then.
Just get stuck in traffic. It's the price you pay for wanting to camp.
We're still on the air tomorrow.
Yeah, listen to us for 3
You'll
hours.
You'll have a live show starting at 3. And by the way, I'm on for Dan Bongino. Where's he going?
Camping, apparently.
What does he get tomorrow off? I'm grateful, by the way, because he's on like 1,000 stations.
And you love Fridays. Tomorrow's going to be a good 6 hours of radio
I
for
don't
you because
mind...
you just love, you adore Fridays.
Yeah, I don't mind Fridays in the morning. It's the afternoon that's just the worst.
Well,
and then you know what's worse than a Friday? A Friday on a long weekend. That's the worst. Ugh. Since we're already at SeaTac, let's figure this out. SeaTac Airport is promoting wildlife safety to travelers that no one will learn anything from because no one is going to the airport to look at your stupid little setup about, let's stop wildlife trafficking. Yeah, no one's going to do that. They had this big display today. It was in partnership, I think, with the wildlife department and the zoo, whatever. And they brought a tortoise out.
Oh, cool.
Now, you say that, correct?
Yeah, I enjoy tortoise eye.
Do you think the tortoise eyes stay there? Or do they leave right after they're done with their press briefing?
Right,
press conference. They leave. They leave. The media is there making a big deal, giving them free press.
And then they leave.
Oh, our socialist friend is going to be on Fox News in a bit. So, what is the purpose of this? You're going to go there and you're going to learn about how some people are trafficking in animals. Okay, what am I supposed to do about that? I just want to go on vacation.
You're supposed to just learn. You're stuck there for 4.5 hours before your international flight anyways.
What do you do when you get to the airport early? There's one of two things. Number one, knowing you eat.
Go to a bar.
You eat. Don't pretend you're drinking. You're eating.
Well, I got to eat
you're
while
eating.
I drink. I only drink when I eat, and I drink and I eat while
you
I drink.
You eat more or drink more? You eat more. That's what you do at an airport. That everyone does it. You got little Auntie M's over there with the stupid pretzels that smell or whatever those things are called.
Auntie Anne's.
Yeah, that thing. No, there's another one, I think. Maybe it's a different brand. Or number two, you just watch a movie on your phone or something. You're just on your phone the entire time. You're eating and you're on your phone the entire time. No one has any interest in doing anything other than that. You brought your book and your Kindle, which you never even take out of your bag the entirety of your vacation.
When you go to SeaTac, do you go into one of the lounges? Because
of course, that's a stupid question.
Say, because my problem is I don't go into the lounge because I'm poor and you don't pay me here. So I'm always having to try and fight for seating outside the gate, and there's never any chairs anywhere. Like,
in fairness, though, to me being an elitist, which I fully acknowledge, especially when it comes to travel, 100%, I almost never get to the airport with more than 30 to 40 minutes for my flight, for the gate to open. I've been, knock on wood so far, with one exception, I cut it kind of close, one exception, and by cutting it close, it means they had opened the gate by the time I got to TSA checkpoint. That was the close, and I made the flight fine. I always get there at the latest 45 minutes before the flight opens. And that is 45 minutes once I actually get to the airport. So it takes you about 15 minutes probably to get through security and then get to the actual gate, depending on where it is I'm going. And so at most, I'm hanging out for just a few.
Did I tell you when I flew?
By the way, just real quick, I get on the plane first, obviously.
Yeah.
We don't have to rub that in your face. I fly first class.
Oh, you do. Did I tell you when I flew 2 weeks ago, I was an idiot having to run through the airport because TSA took too long, and I was like, man.
Yeah. See, that's dumb alert.
My plane had been boarding for like 20 minutes. I think it was supposed to take off at like 6 a.m., and I got through TSA at like 5:45, and I was like, man, I'm going to be cutting it pretty close. Of course, I was over in like the end gate where you got to take the little tram to. And so, yeah, I had a quick jog through the airport. And right when I walked up there, last call for Palm Springs, and I walked right onto the plane.
If I have one experience like that close, I could never get away with what I get away with. And for me, again, I can generally time things because I take light rail there. Where I live, it's easy to get onto light rail, even though I hate the experience. It's much cheaper than driving, and it's less. You're not going to get stuck in traffic unless there's an accident on the railway.
Well, I got there at like 5 in the morning, and I was like, oh, nobody's going to be at TSA. It's 5 in the morning. I'll be fine for my 6 a.m. flight.
Why don't you use your TSA pre-check?
Jason, you don't pay me, so I don't have TSA pre-check because I'm poor.
You could sign up for the free 30-day thing of Clear?
Oh, yeah. I
have never used it. I don't need it.
I don't know how any of that works.
I just know they escort you to the front of the line, which is only 3 feet away from the kiosk. I don't need you to escort me. I could find my way. I could.
You might get lost, sir.
There's no way for me to not. There's only one. I can either leave this line and go back outside of the airport or take quite literally 3 steps to the TSA agent who's right now waving at me to come to him. I don't need your help. I got this. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rance. It doesn't kick in. Wait. There it goes. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. See, I waited that time, but it was very long.
Yeah, when you tell everybody that you're waiting for it, though, it kind of ruins the in bump.
Well, otherwise, it was just a long bit of music. Can you maybe make a note to maybe have him, you know, cut up the first 45 seconds of that long bed music?
Pretty sure that's like a 19 second.
That's too long.
Okay. Sorry, it was 37.
There's a story in the New York Times titled, "The Rules for Hybrid Work Were Always Made Up." And of course, that's true. But the second that I read this title, I already started to get angry because I assumed we were going to hear different advice on why we should continue to let people be flexible with their work environment, meaning they don't have to come back into the office. And my message is quite simple. Get your ass back into the office because you're an adult and you have a job. And you're doing a job here, not when you're at home. Stop pretending that you're actually working from home when you're taking out the dog each and every hour and you're having fun with it. You're taking out your kid on some errand somewhere. Stop pretending that you are working the entire... Don't you do it. Take your finger off that microphone. You push that button off. I am so sick and tired of these people who are pretending, I am working really hard. I'm more efficient when I'm at home. No, you are not more efficient when you're at home. How do we know? Because we can look at the results of your work. And we can look at the data that suggests, yet again, people are working longer hours. Why are you working longer hours? Why are you doing that? If you're more efficient during the 8 hours that you're supposed to be working that you otherwise would have done in your office, or at your cubicle, or at your desk, whatever it is, why is it that you're working longer now? It's almost like you're not working more efficiently, and we are all on to you. We are on to you. I get that you no longer want to sit with a commute. I get it. Then get a job closer to the office. Now you can speak.
Be miserable at work.
100%. Why would you bring your work to the home? After having years and years and years of conversations and proclamations that we need to have a work-life balance, you no longer have a work-life balance when your home is your office and your office is your home. So stop it. Get back to the office. Executives are apparently struggling to navigate the return to work, says the New York Times. How strict should they be? How flexible? The flux in return to office plans is evidence of a mindset shift. in which executives are abandoning rigid attendance rules and trying to make the office fit more seamlessly into workers' lives. I don't care about your life. I care about your work. But Jason, we're a family in this office. No, we're not. We are not a family. We are co-workers. Every once in a while, we go into the bathroom at the same time and we awkwardly laugh and that's it. And then I can't even pee because I'm shy. And then I have to leave or stand awkwardly at the urinal doing nothing. And I know you're wondering why I haven't started. That's it. That's not a family. We are co-workers. I don't want you in my family. You have bad breath, and I already have an uncle with bad breath. Zach Dunn, an expert on hybrid work and founder of workplace management company Robin, said, people are way too fixated on number of days in office as a metric. The office has to earn its place in the average person's week. No, it doesn't. The office doesn't have to earn anything. You have to earn a spot in the office. And when you are hired, you are paid to do a job in the office. And let's stop pretending that everyone works in tech and can get away with being remote. You can't. Tech companies can barely get away with it, but they do because they live in that world. But everyone else, guess what? We're not filled with awkward computer engineers who don't know how to have a face-to-face conversation anyway. We are people who are supposed to interact with one another. And when I, for example, have a question about something or you have a question about something and you need it answered fairly urgently, trying to message someone on Microsoft Teams or Skype or whatever it is you're using to chat with a coworker and they don't see it because they're busy watching Judge Judy poses a little bit of a problem. And thus, their laziness, because I know what they're watching, their laziness hurts your work life, which keeps you working longer. I could have just walked up to your office or your cubicle, whatever it is, and said, hey, Susie, what are those numbers, the stats I asked you to pull? And then they would tell me. That's how it works. That's how it works. You know why people are more effective and efficient in the office? Because they get bored, and thus they force themselves into working. Because they have nothing to distract them. They don't have the Xbox that we know you're playing. We know you're still on Wordle and you don't want to use your last chance. You're not going to get it. Dummy.
So this is all because you don't like Judge Judy?
She's all right.
I feel like you would vibe with her. That's kind of like your spirit TV personality.
I just want people to get back to the office, okay? Just get back to the office. Or give up on that paycheck. How about this? You're not going to get paid as much. If that's what the rule should be. Because we still have to keep offices open, right? Because not everyone wants to work at home like a lazy person. I put work in air quotes. Okay, you're going to give up 10% of your salary. Because, hey, we've got a lease to pay. Electric bills to pay. And we're putting it into you. You're not even using the space. Okay, give me 10% back of your salary. And we're going to give that 10% back to Jason, who's working in his office. I mean everyone who's working in their office.